Welcome to Vineyard Church Dungannon, a place where lives are being changed. The following message was given at one of our Sunday gatherings. For more information, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.
This morning we are going to be looking at the book of James, but just before we get into our talk this morning, we actually have, Johnny was saying there, but we're advertising for somebody to come and work in the church. That's not going to work.
Point it right at it.
Says it's on, and I'm hitting the middle button.
Point it right at the laptop.
No. Actually, I'll maybe see if you can. Sorry about this delay.
Well, I can fill the air if we need, to be honest.
No.
Voila.
No, it's okay. It's working.
Darn it.
Okay, no, just the next slide. So Johnny was saying there about we're advertising for a job. We actually have an even bigger job coming up in the church, and it's with VCD Kids. So if we could go just to the second slide. Sorry for...
Is it working now?
Oh, my word. Is it working now?
No.
Thank you. So, VCD Kids, we are looking for somebody to come and help out our team. The role, the title, job title is Chief Snack Tasting Officer. So whenever we have kids out at the back, part of that is they get treats.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Healthy treats.
Fruit.
But very often they don't like the treat. Sometimes we say, here's this healthy treat, and they very often don't like it. So we're looking for somebody to come work with us to try the treats out and mark them out of 10. So would any of the kids, any boys and girls, think they would like to come up? And we're going to, now, just wait. Listen. Always just make sure you know what's going on. So we're going to come up to the front. We'll tell you what's involved in the job, and we're going to ask you a few questions. Does that sound okay? So if you would like to try, come on up now.
John, where do you want them?
Just fix the app.
Do you want to have a seat in the front of the stage, and while you wait, who else would like to come?
Okay.
Hannah, do you want to come? That's okay, Hannah, you can come.
Okay, so first of all, before we ask you any questions, we're just going to talk through the essential criteria for this job. So these are the things that you must be able to do, or the skills which you must have. So you could qualify, you could get this job, so long as you like chocolate and sweets.
Yeah.
Okay. You must be able to attend church on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
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 Your mum or dad never say, well, I'm too tired, I'm going to stay in bed. No, okay. You must be able to give your opinions.
Oh, Ezra, that's you out now.
Okay. So we're all still in, okay, Paula?
Okay, so desirable criteria, so not essential, but you know, if we're trying to narrow this down, should not be friendly with your dentist. Derek, that's you out. So you should, sad times. Should not have strict parents or carers. Anybody got a strict mummy or daddy? Hannah, that's you out. Oh, no. Should be able to eat lots of sugar without becoming unruly or silly. Does that happen to anyone here, Ezra? No, is that, you can do it. You can. Ezra was at cinema yesterday, and I says, what'd you do? He says, I just ate popcorn.
I'm usually just excited.
Just, oh, that's what you call it. I see. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next slide, please.
So we've got a certificate here of accomplishment in recognition of, we're very proud of this, of VCD Kids Ministry for becoming the first employing authority to receive the Unfair Employer Award. Not many have achieved this feat. So we are, I'm going to just ask a few wee questions. In fact, I'm going to come down here so that I can look you in the eye, make sure you're not lying. Now, let's see. What age are you, Paige?
Six.
You're six. Interesting. Hannah, what age are you?
25.
That's not embarrassing at all. Okay. Right. All right. Matthew, where do you live?
New Mills.
New Mills. Would you like to taste some snacks, Lily Flo, maybe? Can I ask you where you're from?
I don't know.
Where are you from? Are you from the hills of Pomeroy?
Daddy.
Yeah, yeah, you're from the hills. Where are you from the same place as her? Shocking. Imagine. Now, what about football teams? Does anybody support a football team? Let me hear.
Liverpool!
Apologise to anybody listening back on the tape. Paige.
Manchester.
Oh, no, you have to sit down. Oh, okay. Elsie, do you support any football teams?
Spurs.
Oh, Daddy brainwashed you. That is child abuse. Shocking. Well, as Jacob says to me one day, whenever I maybe told him to do something he didn't want to do, I'm going to phone the NHS PCCCC. I says, good luck, son, getting somebody to help you there. Now, what is your favourite snack? Anyone got a favourite snack? Hannah?
Melon.
Melon. Okay. That's disappointing, but never mind. Matthew?
Skittles.
Skittles. Ooh, Paige?
Strawberries.
Strawberries. Oh, Sally Ann smiling at you.
Skittles.
Skittles. Did you have some this morning? No. Elsie, what's your favourite?
Pears.
Pears. I feel ashamed. Do you have a favourite?
Strawberries.
Strawberries as well. Ali, what's your favourite snack?
Chocolate.
Aye, me too. Me too. Okay. So now we're going to see how your responses measure up against our very, very strict criteria.
Okay. So, now unfortunately, as Paula said, we're an unfair employer, so we cannot employ anybody with blonde hair.
Oh,
so if you have blonde hair, I'm sorry, you're out.
Hannah, bye. Elsie, sorry, you're away.
Anybody who uses the terms dinner or tea when talking about your evening meal, it should be supper. We want the really middle class, higher upper class. So
Keith Warwick's out.
Okay. Anyone from Pomeroy? We're not.
Oh no, girls.
Anyone who supports Arsenal, Manchester City, or Man United?
Oh no, Paige. We're only left with Matthew at this point.
Matthew, what age were you, Matthew?
What age are you, Matthew?
Seven.
Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm sorry. We can't have anybody under 11 years old. You have to sit. Sorry.
Oh, this is...
Can we give them a big round of applause for trying? Now, luckily, there were two adult internal candidates who had heard about this job, and they applied. So, next slide, please. Okay. First one. Ashley Hassan, very impressed by your form. So Ashley, according to his form, he's in his late 20s. So we were very impressed. We followed up with some references for Ashley. First one, Ashley, do you work in a hospital or a GP surgery? Who's Dr. Bernie? Is he a doctor of farming? Okay, okay. So, Dr. J. Burney, your employer, said, if Ashley was appointed as Chief Snack Tasting Officer at VCD, I'd be sad to lose him, but delighted to see him go. That sort of worried us a little bit, Ashley, so we followed up your second reference from Mrs. Linda Haston. So she said, if Ashley were to get the job, and as a result be at home less, I'd be sad to lose him, but delighted to see him go. So, that ruled Ashley out, but we did have a second candidate in the church whose form was really impressive. He has an interest in church finances and treasury in the 18th century. Tom Bailey. So, Tom, your reference is all checked out. Only just one other thing we need to check. So, the person with this job will be obviously communicating with parents, and it's important they've got good communication skills. So we've got just a random sentence phrase here on the board. Would you come up, Tom, and just read this for us, please?
Properly or not?
Properly. Full accent, Tom.
We are, man. All right. Do you want to know who I love? Ant and Dec, man. They're wicked. Wicked, Pat. Nothing better than getting a takeaway on Saturday night while literally at the same time watching Saturday Night Takeaway. Yeah.
Unfortunately, not enough, Tom, not enough. We are not going to employ anybody with a strong northern, some might say Geordie, I wouldn't, but a strong northern accent. So, we have not been able to appoint anybody yet. Next slide, please. Because we discriminated against people. We discriminated against people, different groups, based on a whole lot of different reasons. Could have been the color of their hair, their appearance, their age. So we allowed our own thoughts and ideas to influence how we treated others. And that is what discrimination is. So a few questions for us to think about. Do we try to treat everybody the same? Are there isms that we excuse or we ignore? Or we think, well, that's not really discrimination. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to that. Not discriminating against others is a biblical teaching. And it's one of the teachings, not very often the world doesn't agree with the Bible, says that the things, the rules of teaching in the Bible are old-fashioned. But it's actually one of those teachings where it's popular in the modern world. There's legislation, there's laws and acts to try and ensure equality, and to try and make sure people are treated as equal. Okay, next slide. But even with that, discrimination has been embedded in society, in the language we use. Even I thought of an example of classism, even with train companies. So when people are buying their train tickets, first class, second class, so that was the only tickets they could buy. And the first class was for those who were wealthy, the first class people. Second class, those who were less wealthy. Anybody poorer than that, they had to travel in carriages without seats, without covers. So in 1884, William Gladstone proposed a law to change this, to force train companies to offer third-class travel to passengers, the poor passengers. Train companies hated this law, and they tried lots of ways to get around it. They put on third-class carriages at times whenever nobody was traveling. And eventually what they did was they did away with second class and replaced second class with third class and kept the price the same. Basically, they didn't want the poor people traveling with the second class. They didn't want them physically close. They didn't want them close in status. But those terms, first class, second class, they're embedded. We use those terms without even thinking about it. Okay.
Another ism we have is, of course, racism. Racism is discrimination or prejudice against people based on their race or their ethnicity. It's a violation of racial equality, which we as Christians obviously don't support. There's a long history worldwide and at home of racism. We've got some big examples. We've got anti-Semitism, which you can find, you know, in the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were killed. You know, closer to home in Britain, As short a time ago as the 1950s, they would have had newspaper ads for accommodation saying no coloureds, whites only. There was a huge, huge example, of course, which is slavery, with the slave trade, where people, where fellow human beings were traded as commodities and forced to provide slave labour for their owners. And someone, I'm sure, has anyone heard of William Wilberforce? Yes, so William Wilberforce, he was a British politician and he was a philanthropist, say that three times fast. He was born in 1759, shortly before Keith. And from 1787, he was a prominent voice in the struggle to abolish the slave trade in overseas British territories. His abolitionism actually stemmed from his Christian faith. He converted to Christianity around 1784 and 85. His spiritual advisor was actually John Newton. Have we heard of John Newton? Who wrote Amazing Grace. You can go to the top of the class, Esther. We might employ you yet. And he was a former slave trader who had repented and had become a slavery abolitionist, and of course famous for the song Amazing Grace. Wilberforce struggled for years to end the slave trade. He was indefatigable, that means tireless, Stephen, in his efforts. And despite many setbacks, it was 20 years of him campaigning and fighting before there was a bill to pass to abolish the slave trade in the West Indies. This didn't actually even change the situation for people who were already in slavery, and it was 1833, 3 days before Wilberforce's death, before the Slavery Abolition Act was passed, which was 46 years after he actually had started his campaign to abolish that. And if you could imagine such perseverance in someone who saw injustice, he saw discrimination, and that no one is a Christian, that this treatment of human other human beings was not of God. One of his most famous quotes is, "True greatness is not found in power or wealth, but in using them to serve and uplift those in need." So I think now we're going to read.
Yep. If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to James 2, and it's verses 1 to 13.
Okay, where we discuss a bit of discrimination in the early church. So you can just follow along on the screen. "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, 'Love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' also said, 'You shall not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over just judgment."
Okay. There's a lot to get in there, a lot to get our heads around. Basically, James was warning the church that they shouldn't be showing favoritism to anyone. The word they actually used in the Greek was favoritisms. So he was talking about all discrimination, not just the one which was happening in this church, which was obviously classism, showing glory to the wealthy. Basically, in the church, the people were coming in, and they were showing their glory by what they wore, whether it was rings on their fingers or this special type of clothes. And the people in the church then, they were taken in by this, and this is where they saw their glory. So those people who came in and looked wealthy were given the best seats, were given special treatment. Those that were poor and couldn't show their glory by what they wore, they were given the worst seats and were ignored. And this is just interesting, the start of the verse, where James says that we get our glory in Jesus. That's what he's reminding them. Glory isn't found in wealth, but it's only in Jesus. Okay, so just to anybody who's a visual learner, we're going to have a little game now for the boys and girls. Any of the adults who are taking part, if you would like to go out to the back, and then Paul is going to explain to the boys and girls what they have to do to help the church visualize what was happening.
Okay, so we're going to do this game with helps of kids and the young at heart, Hannah, to show what it looked like, what we're describing in the early church. Okay, so the volunteers are going to down and get ready. So as we were saying, it was custom for the rich and wealthy to get the good seats at the front of the church. And those coming in who were poor, who looked undesirable, they got to sit or stand at the back, maybe had a sit on the floor. Stephen's just bringing up the chairs that we're going to show as an example. So obviously the nice, soft, squishy chairs are going to start up here, and then you're going down to this nice green number, which is still a good height, not as squishy. And then we've got some small red chairs, which we may let some of the poor people sit on. You know, we'll have a wee think about it. So basically, if the kids want to have a wee look at each person who's coming in, so have a look at what they're wearing, have a look at how they walk. There's actually going to be music playing as they walk in. So have a look at all that and you decide, okay, which seats you think that they should sit on. So if... Actually, do you want kids could come up and have a wee sort of, you can either sit up here or you can sit in the front so you can see better. Do you want to come up, Paige? Eden, do you want to come up? Come on. Matthew, do you want to come? No, you can you judge them from back there? Good job, yeah. You can judge from anywhere. Okay, so as the people come in, you're going to look at them, how they're walking, how they're looking, and decide that the rich people, the fancy people... Look at you, Eden, you look so fabulous, I could set you up here, are going to sit up this end, and then the really poor people, they're going to have to sit down in the cheap seats down here, okay? Are we ready to go with the soundtrack? Here she comes. Oh no. Oh no. This woman doesn't have shoes. Okay, guys, have a wee look at her. Apparently she needs a dollar. Where do you think this lady should sit according to what we were saying in the early church? No, she's not got many, she look a wee bit poor, does she? Would you put her in the middle? Where would you put her? There? I know, but according to what the early church would have done. You would put her there in the green one. Ella would put her in the red. Where would you put her?
The green one.
The red one.
The red one?
Red.
Red. I think you're going in the red, Ivana. Sorry.
We're the nice people.
You're the nice people. I know, but we're doing this according to those people in that passage, and they didn't sound that nice, did they?
Okay.
So you pretend you're them for today. Okay. Right. Sorry, Ivana, if you would just crouch low, do a squat. Good job. Now are you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no.
No, it's not.
Stop.
Oh, yeah, here we come. Go again. Start again. Here she comes. Here she comes. Woo! Where are we going to put her? Oh, Ezra says here. Where are we going to put her, Paige? There, Ellie, where are you putting her? Do you think you'd put her there? Ellie's got perfume in her eye. There, you'd put her there as well. Paige, are you happy? Yeah. Doesn't she look fab? She's so fancy. We need to keep her far away from Ivana down the bottom, wouldn't we? Yeah, we would. Wow. Okay, are we ready for the next one, Stephen? Okay, track number 3. I know, we feel sorry for her. Okay, here she comes. She's got a wee cup. Shake your cup. Oh, she's needing some change. She's no shoes either. And her cup says change, please. Anybody got any change for this child? No? Where are we going to put her? Where do you think, Eden? You think the green one?
Yeah.
Where do you think?
The green one.
Is that because she's got a bit of change in her pot? Got a wee bit of money. Where would you put her?
Green.
And the green one, Evie? Oh, you're getting to go in the green one. Okay. You sit down. Gail would have put her on the red. Mm-hmm. Now, we have our fourth person coming in now. Wow. Where are we going to put this dude? Look, he is so confident. He is so happy to be here. Oh, look, Ezra's going to put it. They're all pointing. Are we pointing here beside Pretty Woman? Yes. Who would have thought Tom Cruise was going to be here this morning? Right. Now, folks, you can change them if you would like. Are you happy with the order? Do you think Tom Cruise outranks Pretty Woman? Are you happy? Do you think Ivana still belongs right down at the bottom, higher up than Evie? Are you happy? She needs a change. Does anyone want to change them?
She has a bit of change.
She has a bit of change. You don't want to change her. Lovely. Are you happy, Elsie? We're happy. Okay, Stephen, I think we're happy.
Okay.
With where...
Yep, they're all correct. You can give them all a big round of
applause. Okay, give them a big round of applause. Well done. Okay. Esther's had to go outside for some smelling salts because she fainted just at the sight of that man coming in. You're released.
Thank you very much.
Lovely. Well done. Thank you.
And boys and girls can go back down as well. And thank you, Ruth and Keith, for choosing those songs as well, guys. We were going to play something else, but Pretty Woman and Maverick, that was what they requested. Okay, next slide, please. So that's what was happening in the church. But then how do we, as Christians, as part of God's family, how do we live a life of compassion and justice? Well, James had said earlier chapter 1, verses 23 and 25, he said, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they'll be blessed by what they do. Okay. So, James is telling us the Word of God is like a mirror. And before the Word of God tells you what to do, it shows you who you are. So whenever you're reading the Bible, whenever you're reading the Gospel, and that's the Old Testament and the New Testament, first of all, it tells you that we all have sinned. We all have fallen short. We are all made in the image of God. And James says, keep coming back to that. Look at that. Read that. Study it intently. He also says then, the Bible then will tell us how we're doing, how we're getting on. Are we being compassionate? Do we want to see justice? The rich man showed his importance by what he wore. But that's not where the glory is. We need to continue to look to Jesus, to look to God, to examine our own lives. Okay, next slide, please. We keep going back to the gospel. We don't just glance at it. He says to study it intently. And if you think about a photograph or an x-ray, if you take a photograph rather quickly, it'll be like a blurred image. You won't be able to see the detail. So in your Christian life, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not spending time with God's people, if you're not spending time in prayer, it's like a blurred image. That's all you're seeing. You're not getting the true gospel. It's not being ingrained. It's not being seen in your life. Whereas James says, study it intently, and it'll be more like an x-ray. So we can really examine ourselves, examine even our thoughts. What do we think about people? What are we thinking about different groups? And in this context, we can then grow and become mature. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, just moving on then, at the end of James 2, in verses 12 and 13, it says this. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We are instructed to show mercy to others. It doesn't say, pick a grip, show mercy to that person. Don't show mercy to them. We're instructed just to show mercy to everyone. It doesn't mean we ignore sin, but we can't decide that some people deserve mercy and others don't. And sometimes that's, you know, we think we're doing okay, but sometimes we're excusing isms or we're excusing thoughts or we're saying, no, it's okay. It's okay for me not to like that person or not to like that group of people because that's the way I've been brought up, but it's not okay. We can't pick and choose who we show mercy to. We're just told, show mercy. We can't change the gospel, the Bible. We can't change it to suit our own thoughts, our own bias. And when I was getting ready for this talk, I was thinking back. Whenever I was at university at the SU, there was a guy who used to come. He was involved with student ministry. So he came to the SU quite a lot. And at that time, in that sort of period in my life, I sort of thought I was doing well as a Christian. Maybe you shouldn't think that, but I thought, you know, I was doing a lot of teams, spent a lot of time reading and in prayer, and I thought I was doing okay. And every time this guy came to the SU and spoke, I don't remember what he spoke about, but I always remember this phrase he used time and time again because it really annoyed me to a point where I was whenever I saw he was on speaking, I was thinking, I don't think I'm going to go. He always used to say, you're worse than you think. I thought that's not very encouraging, and I think I'm doing quite well here. I'm spending time and studying, reading the Bible. But he would repeat it 5 or 6 times every talk. You're worse than you think. And I was thinking about it just as I was getting ready for this, because it's not to be discouraging, but it's the realization that there's nothing we could have done, nothing we can do, no sacrifice we could have made that could reconcile us with Jesus. It took Jesus to die on the cross, so we then could come to the Father. And I think that's the point he was trying to make. Everybody is in the same boat. Everybody falls short. But Jesus has done the work, and it's up then just to us to say yes. So next slide, please. Just going back then to thinking about how we can't change law to suit ourselves. We can't decide who deserves mercy. I was thinking then about these sports stories I'd heard about people trying to change the law, the sports laws. So the first one, this guy was a cricketer. In the 1700s, he invented a bat that was wider than the wicket. Now, there was no law to prevent him from doing that, but he was changing the laws to suit himself. And eventually, 3 years later, they introduced a law that specified the size of the bat. Then the Lester Hayes rule. Actually, do you know about this one? No? And so in the 1970s, Oakland Raiders, American footballer Lester Hayes, what he did, he covered his hands, his gloves, arms, everything in this glue-type substance. So whenever they threw the ball, he would have a better chance of catching it. And then in 1981, the use of such substances was banned. I was just thinking, so that's like us sometimes. Sometimes we try and bend the rules, change the law to suit ourselves, but we can't do that with God's law. We're told, show mercy to everyone. We can't have any isms. None of them are acceptable in God's eyes.
No. So basically, we need to show mercy, but we need to show mercy to receive mercy. God's laws prepare us for this freedom. Jesus sets us free. But freedom comes with responsibility. You know that, Ezra, with great power comes great responsibility. Who says that? Is that Spider-Man? Yes, it is. So getting your driver's license, it gives you freedom to go new places, to go when you want, where you want. But it also means that you must be responsible and follow the rules of the roads, because that ensures your safety and ensures everyone else's safety. And by gaining more freedom, then you get more responsibility. So it's sort of like a double-edged sword. The more freedom you get, then the more responsibility that you have. And after we pass our test, we no longer have someone beside us telling us where to go and where to turn, where to stop. We have the freedom to go where we want, because we have free will to do that. But we must abide by the rules. And God gives us freedom from sin, but not the freedom to sin. Next slide. So what does this mean for us? So this, am I going to say, acrostic, is it? Yes, it's an acrostic. It spells out repeat. So first of all, we've got recognize. We recognize what it says in God's word about discrimination. You can look at that passage today because it was quite a lot. If you want to look back over it later, and shows us how we should behave and how we should also treat others. E is for examine. We need to examine ourselves and be really honest about it. How are we treating people? Not just the people that we naturally gravitate towards, not just the people that we like. We can all be guilty of having unconscious bias, especially in this wee province that we live in. We all grow up in our own areas, in our own families, and some things are ingrained in us and we don't even realize that they're there until the situation arises and you realize, actually, that's not right thinking. That's not godly, but that's something that I had maybe buried inside me. So it is important to pray, to examine ourselves. And then P is also, that is for pause and pray. I mean, it's not easy. We're only human. It's hard to treat everybody the same. But we need to pause and we need to pray and ask God to help us to treat others the right way, to reveal to us when we're not doing it the right way. Because sometimes it can be hard to spot. E is for encounter. It's important to encounter lots of different people. It would be really easy if we just stayed in our own wee comfort zone, in our holy huddle, in our family, with the friends that we like. I know that's what I like to do, and I know it's hard, and sometimes we do. Well, a lot of the time we do just need to push ourselves out there. This is a really diverse area we live in. I'm sure even in our workplaces, in our schools, there's an awful lot of different people who are different to us, who have different views than us, who come from different places to us. They're all there. They're all out there. Even in our church, there's lots of people who are different from us. I'm certainly quite different from most people. And it's important that we do go and encounter these people, even whenever it's not comfortable. Try and get more comfortable with being uncomfortable. And then A is for accept. It's important to accept other people as they are. It's not up to Stephen was saying, it's not up to us to judge them. It's important for us not to be biased, not to discriminate. We've been shown mercy, and we too have responsibility to show mercy back. And then T is for transform, that we would transform our attitudes, that we would pray that we would be transformed. But also in doing that, then we can transform the lives of others. I mean, you heard this morning, Ali was saying about the work that they're doing in the food bank and all those things. And those are people transforming other people's lives by not discriminating, by not showing bias, by accepting people as they are, by meeting people where they are, and showing them love. And showing them mercy. And the last and most important thing is that Jesus was a poor man. He was actually a refugee, and he was despised and rejected, and we've all accepted him as our Savior. So much more so, we need to then be going out and showing that to everybody else. So, in conclusion, I'm concluding, aren't I? I like to get the last word, don't I, Stephen? So.
Amen.
Our final song is going to be Amazing Grace. It's the special version that was written, that was adapted by Chris Tomlinson. Has anyone seen the film about William Wilberforce's life? It's a really good film. It's called Amazing Grace. And so the band are going to kind of come up and sing that with us. And after that, then Colin and Helen are going to come up and close in prayer.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information on what's happening in the life of our church, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.